Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Just the scripture kept coming up in my heart throughout the afternoon, and I just had it on my heart to share this scripture. It's just not going to be real long, and then we're just going to go back into the presence of God. And as we enter this new year, as we talk on the weekends about fulfilling the purpose of God for our life, fulfilling the dream for our life, I want you to see a prayer the Apostle Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, and the Apostle was praying for the church at Philippi. And he said this in verse 8 of Philippians 1. He said, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray." So remember this, when you see prayers written in the Bible, you know for certain that Paul was not praying for something outside of the will of God. So one of the greatest ways to discover God's will for your life is to find out the prayers prayed in the Bible. The Lord's Prayer, you can find out much of God's will for man. You can just go right through that prayer and see how God wants His will to be done on earth as it is in. So if someone tells you about something that God did that's evil in the earth, what did Jesus say? God willed that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you'd ask this question: what you're saying happened, does that happen in heaven? Well, no. For example, was it the will of God so-and-so's in a car wreck? And I'm sure God had a purpose. Well, Jesus said the will of God, He prayed, would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody been in car wrecks in heaven? See, you find out the will of God by prayers prayed. Philippians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. All of these prayers reveal the will of God. He's praying out these things. In fact, one of the very prayers in Colossians said, "I pray that you'd be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So this isn't just a prayer somebody prayed. This is a cry of the Spirit of God for us to cry out, to exercise our authority, to believe God, to obtain some things. So listen to what he prayed in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Look at verse 10. "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God." Now there's much we could say about those verses, but I want to focus tonight on the verse that kept coming up into my heart all afternoon, verse 10. "That you may approve things that are excellent." That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may approve things that are excellent in your life. God wants you to have a life of excellence. Not a life of perfection. That doesn't exist. Perfection is what you do for yourself. Perfection is usually, it is always fear-based. But excellence is different. Excellence is not perfection. Perfection is only exists in God. How many of you found out you don't have any of that perfection in you? You might be a perfectionist, but you can get delivered. Amen? But you're not perfect. But yet, he said, "I pray that you," now listen, "that you would approve things in your life that are excellent." God wants things in my life that are excellent. Mediocrity, notice he didn't say, if you listen to how many Christians talk, it's almost like God puts his stamp of approval on mediocrity. That it's just, that you're almost being humble to accept things as they are. Just accept, you know, that's your lot in life, and just give glory to the Lord in your circumstance. And now certainly we should worship and praise God in all circumstances. Not for them, but in them. He said, but no, I pray that you learn to only approve in your life things that are excellent. And then he said that you might be sincere and without offense to the day of Jesus Christ, that you might be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Listen, which are by Jesus Christ. Where do these fruits of righteousness come? From our effort? No, they're by Jesus Christ. What he's saying is that all that exists in Christ, he said, I wanted to develop an expectation in you that you only approve something of those things of excellence in your life. Excellence in what you expect from God. Excellence in what you expect from yourself. Not perfection. Excellence in a physical way. That we provide. That God, help me to live a life of excellence in my body. I mean, we have all these resolutions that we have. But the truth of it is, God wants us to live lives of excellence physically, emotionally, mentally. Now, you just click that knob two clicks and you'll move into perfection and works. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about unrealistic, unsustainable goals and goals that are just short-lived. I'm talking about approving things excellent in your life. Having a marriage of excellence. Raising children that expect excellence in their life. And not buying into this kind of float through life and wait for God to do something. He said, I'm praying that you would learn to approve some things. Now, if you're called of God to approve some things that are excellent in your life, then would you not assume that there are some things we are to disapprove of? There are some things that should not meet the standard of a child of God that's born of God, that's immersed in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that belongs to the Father. There are things beneath you as a child of God. I don't mean that in a haughty sense. But when you understand that there are things beneath you, there are practices and lifestyles beneath the child of God. And it's not just a matter of sinfulness. That should be a given. But he's talking about what you expect every day of the world. Expectation is everything. You and I will never get further than what we expect from God and what we expect in our life. And what he's saying, in improving things that are excellent, there are some things we have to disapprove. There are some things we have to say no to. There are some things we have to say, no, I'm not going to live that way because I am filled with the fruits of righteousness by Jesus Christ. That I can abound in love yet more and more. Our marriages, our relationships, we can abound in love yet more and more. And approve things excellent. What are some things in my life, in your life, that God Himself has ordained that I need to approve of for them to find an access into my life? See, so often and so much of that I hear talked about on when Christians are interviewed, I hear the saying, I've heard this so many times, I can't count the times when I've heard Christians say, both in preaching and in interview formats, God's in control. Now, I understand what they mean by that, and there's a truth to that. But then right on the other side of that, there's a part of that that's absolutely untrue. If God were in control, He wouldn't tell us to approve things excellent. He'd just say, just live, God's in control. And when you get the mindset God's in control, you'll just float through life. You'll just accept enemies as friends. You'll accept mediocrity as your lot in life. No. God's not in control of everything. He's given you and me choice. He's given us the ability to approve and disapprove some things. You're in control of that. I'm in control of that by the grace of God. You don't have to keep living like you're living. I don't have to keep living like I'm living. There's a greater one on the inside of you. I'm not talking to you about goals that someone else imposes on you or dreams someone else imposes on you. But every one of us know the things on the inside that, well, we just know that that's in me to do that. And we just don't know, how do I get there? Well, he said, learn to approve things that are excellent in your life. Shoot for God's best in that area. Again, not perfection, not materialism, not an external view of what looks good, what feels good, but truly, God, is this what you want for me in my life? And when you begin to move toward those things by the grace of God, you will begin to experience and begin to expect greater things from God. Greater things for your life this year. It's in you. And what I want us to do tonight, what kept coming up in my heart, is let's go into His presence and worship. And let's begin to not just worship Him. Do you know that fulfilling the purpose of God for your life is a spiritual act of service? Do you know that judging your thought life according to Romans is an act of worship? Renewing your mind, submitting your body, the Bible said it is your reasonable act of worship. It's one thing to say, Lord, I worship You. It's another thing to say, Lord, I approve things that are excellent in my life because the greater one lives inside of me. And know that the God of all glory doesn't live in me to bring me to mediocrity, but rather that I might approve things excellent in my life so that my life becomes an act of worship, so that my decisions are acts of worship. What I pursue is an act of worship, and what I disapprove of, not people, things, actions, pursuits, thoughts, ideas, suggestions, I disapprove of that. That's not true. That's not who I am. Well, you're just fat. No, I promise you, when you die, you won't be fat anymore. You're not fat. Your body might have an extra plunket or two on it, but when that rascal dies, it will stay here. The real you isn't limited by flesh. The real you is going to live forever someday. And what He's saying is, I want you to live that way now. I want the inward man to gain the ascendancy out of the outer man so that you can approve things that are excellent. And when you do it that way, it's not this imposition of pressure on your life. It's living from the inside out. And now you achieve those goals with a grace instead of with a burden. And it is an act of worship. So I want us to go back into the presence of the Lord tonight and worship. And then we're going to sing for a while, and then we're going to just lift our voices. And can I ask you, worship God out loud. The Bible said worship is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That for some of us, you may have never done that really, where you just lifted and said, oh my God, I worship You. I lift my voice and I worship. He's God. I can promise you this. You will worship God that way when you see Him face to face. Amen. I don't care if you're reserved, if you grew up in a family where no one talked. When you see Him face to face, we are going to fall, we are going to worship, it's going to come out of us like a river. Well, how about let's get to it now? Well, He's still God. He doesn't become God when you see Him. He's God now. Don't let the veil of this flesh keep you back from expressing worship to God. And as we spend some time in His presence, I know in my heart, this is what the Spirit of God kept dealing with me about. There are things that will rise up in you that God has been dealing with you about. And I want you to not commit to do that to please God. I want you to say, Lord, I approve that in my life. And it's an act of worship. Laboring together with Christ by Your grace, this is going to come to pass in my life. And You're going to bring this to pass in my life. Because if You bring it to pass, if I cooperate with You, You get all the glory. And you begin to submit yourself to that. And here's all I'm asking tonight that came up in my heart. Say, Lord, what's my first step? What's the first step You have for me to take to fulfill this purpose? Not 50 steps, not what some grandiose. What is the first thing He'd ask you to do? Now listen. And when you commit to approve that step of excellence in your life, there will be sufficient grace to enable you to bring it to pass. And that one step will take you to the next step. The Bible said the righteous steps are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes we want to get, you know, from a 50-pound kind of chunk to, in a week and a half, I'm going to drop 50. Well, they're going to have to cut a limb off to get that to happen. That's not how it works. God doesn't bless our leaps. He blesses our steps. He orders our steps. So we're going to go back and let's all stand together. Let's go back into His presence and sing and worship. Forget about everything around you. And then we're going to begin at some point just lift our voice and worship. And I'm going to ask you with me to just discover what is that thing inside you. And then worship Him by approving that point of excellence in your life. Let's worship. 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 Bow before You.
you in our lives. We lay down everything before you. Lord, those things you called us to, those that's something on the inside, tonight we decide to yield to the grace that you are, that you said we can approve things excellent in our life. And so, Father, tonight I submit my life to that excellence. It is an act of worship. It is an act of service to you. It's honoring you. It's lifting your name on high. Oh, Father, we approve those things in our life that are excellent, that you've called us to. Now, right where you're at tonight, I want you to forget about everything around you. And I want you to talk to Jesus. Talk to your Father about it. Yield to the Spirit of the living God. And tell Him that you'll yield. Tell Him that you'll worship. Tell Him that you'll not lift anything above His name. Not your weakness, not your fear, not your struggle, not circumstance, but you'll take that step. Thank you, Father. Bring revelation to hearts tonight. Bring divine revelation. Divine revelation. Thank you, Father God. Divine revelation into hearts tonight. That first step. That first step. It might be small, it might seem insignificant, but there's grace to take it. Oh, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Yourself taking that first step. See yourself in your mind's eye. Yielding is an act of worship. See it as worship, not as a duty, not as a burden, not as something that you're earning for God or doing to even please Him, but just that you're simply worshiping Him to prove things excellent in your life. Oh, Father, I thank you. There are some things we're laying down today. There's some things we're taking up. There's some things we're agreeing to. There's some things we're saying no to. You are faithful. On the other side of a night like this is the beginning of a miracle. Is the beginning of a miracle. Is the beginning of a miracle in our life. Oh, all of heaven revealed. Oh, thank you for it. Oh, thank you. Thank you, my Father. Revealing your presence. Revealing your glory in my life. Worship you, Lord. Let's just continue to worship. 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 Worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Worthy is your holy name. Worthy is your wonderful name. We glorify your presence. We glorify your glory. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. There is a way that seems right to men. There's a path that seems so easy, so obvious. But yet as you follow that way, the way that reason would say go, it will take you a place that may be good, may not even necessarily always be destruction, but it won't be the place where I would take you. The place that will require my hand. The place that will require my grace. And the place that will require your faith. To trust me. Steps to take. That flesh will recoil from. That fear will speak to. That will rise up in you and say, don't take that road. It's unknown. It's unknown to you, but not unknown to me. So as I lead you, I guide and direct you. Take those steps. Yield to me. Follow me. Do the things I told you to do. It may seem insignificant, but in doing so, my grace will be there. And one breath of my grace will take you so much further than 1,000 years of flesh can take you. So yield to me. Don't minimize that direction. Don't minimize the step. Take it. Walk it out. Trust me. And you'll see things that I will do as a result. Today, it's unknown to you. But I will bring things to pass that will bring glory to my name and that will lift the lives of many. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands. Thank Him for it. Oh, Lord, we thank You for that. We honor You in it. We worship You. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You can be seated as y'all can as well. Thank you very much.
Before Pastor Steve would come and we kind of wind down tonight, just want to reiterate a couple things that when God moves this way and begins to speak to our hearts about things of this nature, I want to really encourage you to not minimize these things. Don't leave and just kind of, well, that was nice. Take the step. I've learned something through the years when it comes to fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. Those steps feel insignificant, and sometimes they might even feel impossible. But I've learned that if you'll take the step, it will take you somewhere that God, it's like going into a room where there's provision. And that step takes you into that room. The will of God, the plan of God, is not something that we have to, in a sense, figure out and strive for. It's when you take that step, you step into His provision. You step into His presence. You step into His grace. It's not hard. It can feel hard because you can feel alone. You can feel like, well, how could I ever do that? Sometimes the steps may seem very insignificant. Times to me, it was making a phone call. I remember times when we looked at these 64 acres that you're sitting on right now, when it was all trees and a big hill and a big valley. And I remember driving up and through this property in a vehicle that would let you do it. And it just felt so impossible. And I remember there was a certain landscape architect that was came highly recommended that does very good work. And I remember having that phone number in front of me. This is the next guy to call. And I'm going to sit down with this person and I'm going to show him what I believe should happen on 64 acres of land we can't even begin to afford. And I remember that step. And I can remember going back and forth just to make that phone call. And I remember the phone number now because I ended up calling it so many times through those years of going back and forth. I remember the first time sitting down with that person. And what was wonderful about this person that I met with, he never asked the questions of possibility. This guy had more of a visionary capacity as a person. So when he saw 64 raw acres in Cranberry Township, I told him what we wanted to do. He was having the time of his life. And you can do this and you can do that and then this will happen and this. And I said, well, what's all that cost? He said, well, I remember him just saying casually, I think you can get your two traffic signals. That time we were going to try, we needed two, they thought. I think that should cost you about $250,000 for two. Well, one cost $750,000. I'm so glad I didn't know any of that stuff. And I can remember him saying, well, you need to move this dirt and that. But the point of it was those steps that you take. So many things that you come to that are little steps. Michelle and I never would have met, fallen in love, if she didn't get off work when her church was having services a Sunday through a Wednesday. It was actually a Friday. It was initially Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. She got worked and got off late from work. And she just came, just in her heart, I need to be there. I need to go there on a Monday night. And she did. And what, I try, sometimes you wonder, what if she didn't do that? I mean, how would that have worked out? And I mean, I know God would have cared for me and loved me, but I'm thinking how much we would have missed out. And I just can't imagine that the day she was left, because she had to be late. You know, you get off work and go straight to a church service. I'm certain that she didn't see the dots connected, that someday she'd be sitting in this room and about to go into that room and seeing thousands of people's lives changed. Those little steps people miss. Don't minimize them. Coming tonight, I'm telling you, for some of us in this room, it was not easy to get here. And yet you just pressed through it and did it. That's what I'm talking about. Don't minimize that. And don't say, well, I'd feel so stupid. Go ahead and feel stupid. I'd rather feel stupid in the grace of God than feel smart outside of it. Just yield to God. And let Him just step by step lead you, guide you, take you into the things He's prepared for you. And on the other side of it is just not, the fact of it is it will lift other people. And while lifting other people, God will lift you right alongside Him. We've had 20, almost 5 years together. We've been all over the world together. We've seen God do things that are unimaginable in our minds. I couldn't have dreamed that we'd have the life we've had. 3 wonderful kids. We are so grateful. God has done so much. And we realize we're just getting started. And you're not called necessarily, obviously, to do what we're called to do, but I'm not called to do what you're called to do. And you know, when you put that all together, each one doing what God called us to do as individuals, something will happen in this world that God intended to happen from the foundations of the earth, that the church will be the church. And we will lift our generation to the cross and into Christ. And we'll see people pass from death into life. Guys, I'm telling you, I want you to be praying with me about something. And then we'll close here. There are going to be a lot of changes coming this year for this church. Things that God's been dealing with Michelle and I about, that we've been strategizing and planning out for months and months and months and months and months, that will be rolling out in the next several months. And there will be things that will be changes that will require us to let go of some things to grab hold of some new things. And so I want you, because really your Wednesday night crowd is typically a core part of your church, typically more of a mature crowd of people. I really would encourage you, be believing God with me for grace in this church to move into change. Whatever we need to do what God's called us to do, to reach our generation, that we're going to do it. These are all, they're all good things. None of it's bad. I don't want to give that impression. But people don't like change because of the unknown and what I like at this. No, I'm telling you, there's some things that if we could open our eyes and see what this is going to look like 3 years down the road, guys, I'm telling you, we are about to step into an earth-shaking move of God. And I'm telling you, it's going to be something that we're going to sit back and, I'll tell you, just make you weep that you get to be a part of it. I'm so honored to be a part of it. And guys, we get to do this to the glory of God together. And so I just want to thank you for that. Please be believing God with us. Amen. I'm just believing this is a church that the change is not the issue. Obedience is the issue. Amen. We're going to go do what God's called us to do. Amen. And you go do what God's, take that step, would you? And let's be led. Would you bow your heads with us tonight? I want to make certain everybody here has had the opportunity to know Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if tonight you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, where would you spend it? I want to make certain everybody here knows the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, you'd say, Pastor, would you please pray for me and include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart? I will, and I'll do it right where you're seated. Please don't leave here without receiving the one who died for you. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. Every head bowed. every eye closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer right now where I'm seated. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You want to make Christ the Lord of your life. Would you raise your hand up right now where you're seated and we'll pray for you. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand back down. Anyone else? Say, please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wonderful. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud and we'll pray it all together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give him a hand, please? Amen. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.